In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. The Word of God for our sermon this morning is our first lesson recorded in the book of Leviticus that includes these words, "Be holy, because I, the Lord your God, am holy." Dearly loved by God in Christ Jesus, our Savior, there is a fundamental misunderstanding about what God really expects from us according to our obedience to the law. Neither the unbeliever out there or my own personal unbeliever that I have to drag around through life, my old Adam, actually believes for a minute that God expects you and me to be perfectly holy, to perfectly obey in every thought, word, and deed with nothing short of perfection everything that God commands us according to His holy will. It's a bit like the attitude of the parent who tells their child when he or she is going out the door in the evening, "Behave yourself." For our purposes this morning, we'll recognize that when a parent says, "Behave yourself," they first of all don't really expect that child to be perfect when they go out. And secondly, they fully hope that if the child does something shameful, that at least it's not as bad as the neighbor kid. That's not true of God's law. That's not what God's command to obey His holy will is all about. God says, "Be perfect, because I, the Lord your God, am perfect." God expects my entire life, in every thought, in every word, in every action, to present a contrast to sin and transgression in any form. Anything less than perfect righteousness is unacceptable. One sin condemns us to hell. God's holy will, for which He demands perfect obedience, is, in one word, love. And love is more than just the command to behave yourself. Love is the command that I must be holy just like Him. And love is God's command about the way that I must treat my neighbor. When God created Adam and Eve, He gave them one commandment, one command that they were to keep holy, they were to keep perfect as the way of loving Him. "You must not eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil." Adam and Eve were like God, the only two human beings ever created in God's image. And in that image, they could choose and had the ability to obey God's command, to be holy. But when they chose to disobey that commandment, when things changed and they lost that image of God and they lost that ability to be holy, God did not change His mind about His will for them or for us, His offspring. After the fall into sin, God didn't change, "Obey my will perfectly," to, "Please try to do your best keeping my will, and I'll be happy with that." Or, "Try to keep it for the most part and better than other people. And that'll be sufficient for me in my relationship with you." No, man's ability changed from the ability to be holy to a complete inability to be holy. But God did not change His will. He did not change His command. He did not change, "Be holy, because I, the Lord your God, am holy." And here in Leviticus, God repeats that will and that command to love through Moses. Here we have one of those phrases that occur in the Bible that indicate clearly that the Bible is God's Word. The Lord said to Moses, "Speak to the entire assembly in Israel and say to them." It wasn't Moses' idea that Israel had to be perfectly holy because God is holy. That wasn't his thought and his command. It was the Lord's word revealed to Moses, and Moses revealed it to the people. And he has revealed it to us also in the word, "Be holy, because I, the Lord your God, am holy." To be holy means to not sin, to never sin. It means to hate sin, to despise sin, not only in my life, but in the life of others. That is God's holiness, lack of sin and hatred for sin. And that's what God expects us to be and to do perfectly. This command comes from that Lord our God. And notice that he uses both of his names. He refers to himself as the Lord, the Tetragrammaton, all capital letters. "I am the God of free and faithful grace who has forgiven all your sins in my Savior who is coming. But I am also God. I am that just and holy God. I am a jealous God. I demand perfect obedience. And where there is one disobedience, where there is one trespass, then I will punish that iniquity and those transgressions." In God's law, to love, to be holy in that love, God reveals his will. He demands us to comply perfectly with that will. But God does not give us the desire or the ability to obey it, to comply. When God commands us to love him and obey his will to be holy, he also commands us to love our neighbor as ourselves in order to be holy and to do that perfectly. But that's not two commands. That's not two wills. That's one command, one will. Remember when the Pharisee came to Jesus and he asked him, "Lord, what's the first and most important commandment?" You remember what Jesus told him? "Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind." And then he said, "And the second one is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself." In other words, the one commandment is love. And the application of that "be holy" is toward God and toward your neighbor, and to do that perfectly. And when we don't do that perfectly, we're not guilty of just one commandment or of breaking one law and keeping the other. Paul says that whoever breaks one of the commandments of the law is guilty of breaking the entire law. The law is a unit. If I am guilty of one transgression in one area, then I have broken the entire law. I am guilty of the entire thing because I have not loved. When you and I look into the mirror of that law, when we hear what God demands of us to be holy, to be perfect in that law of love, we see, don't we, that we have failed miserably. We heard about that last week, didn't we? When Jesus said, you are not to commit adultery. But boy, even that sinful, adulterous, lustful thought in your heart is a sin that condemns you to God. He said, you know, the commandment is do not murder. But I'm telling you, if you call somebody a fool, if you get angry and hate somebody, even for a split second, then you have transgressed and broken that holy will You're not perfect anymore. And then you are condemned. We heard it this morning. Jesus says, you've heard it said, love your neighbor and hate your enemy. I'm saying love your enemy and pray for those who persecute you. Have you always done that? Have you always forgiven right away somebody who has done something wrong to you? Have you always prayed for those who are persecuting you? I thought not. Nor have I, because we are not able to do that. And that's why God sent His eternal Son into the world, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who are under the law. That's why Jesus, as true God and true man, was holy like God, as God. He was perfect as a true human being, perfectly obeying that law of love. Jesus, the man, always loved God. Jesus, as a man in his human nature, always loved his neighbor. Jesus never broke the commandments. He was never guilty of hating your brother in your heart. But he always rebuked his brother so that his brother would recognize his sin. Jesus never sought revenge, but loved his neighbor as himself. You know, we often hear that, love your neighbor as yourself. But what does that mean? It means that I am to love you with that same love, that same self-sacrificial love that Jesus had for me, I am to give to you. And when I sin against you, then I fully expect that you are going to give me that love of Christ that's in your heart, and you're going to give that to me, and you're going to forgive me for my sins. Jesus, in his love, perfectly obeyed the commandments. And then he offered that perfect obedience, that holiness, on the cross as full payment for our sins. And through faith, you and I have the creation of that image of God again in that new man. We can't be holy like he is holy, but don't we want to be? We can't be perfect like our Father in heaven is perfect. But don't we want to be, according to the new man, to do everything in obedience to our Father's will? You and I look at that love of Christ, both in forgiving others, in loving you as myself, and vice versa. Jesus gave the disciples a living example and a motivation for that love in the gospel on Maundy Thursday night when he washed their feet. And he said, a new command I give you. Love one another. What's new about that? That command was always around, to love one another. But now it was new in a special way. It was new in an application that they had not seen yet. They would see Jesus love his neighbor, they would see Jesus serve the lost world by allowing himself to be arrested, by keeping his mouth quiet when falsely accused by the Sanhedrin, by boldly rebuking and acknowledging his kingship before Pontius Pilate, but then allowing himself to be nailed to the cursed tree. That act of love on the cross is more than our example of loving your neighbor as yourself. It is our ability to love one another and forgive one another as Christ has loved us as our Savior. Love is more than just a command, behave yourself. God doesn't want us to go out knowing full well that we're not going to be perfect, and that's okay. Or if we do something wrong, He just hopes it's not as wrong as somebody else, the sin that they commit. He says, be holy. Be perfect. And know that anything less than that is unacceptable because I accepted that perfect obedience of my Son, Jesus, on the cross. Loving God and loving you is not some general admonition to behave. In the verses between 1 and 2 and 15 and 18, there are some 17 and 18, there are some very specific commands there of how to do that. Love your parents. Obey your parents. Love God's word. Care for the poor. Act justly. Protect your neighbor's life, among others. In verse 17, the Lord says that in love, you go to your neighbor and you rebuke him for his sin so that you don't share in his guilt by just letting him go and live in his sin and not saying anything to him about his sin. And then in verse 18, the Lord says, don't hold a grudge. Don't seek revenge. And then he closes again by identifying himself, I am the Lord. Again, we see that name of free and faithful grace. Our motivation to love one another as yourself is that name of love our Savior God calls himself. God demands perfect holiness of us that we can't deliver. God delivered over into death his Son, Jesus Christ, who had perfect obedience for us and gives us his perfect obedience as ours through faith. And it is his perfect sacrifice. It is his perfect holiness that compels us to love your neighbor as yourself. Amen.